My name is Pamela Payne Foster, and I'm an associate professor at the University of Alabama School of Medicine in Tuscaloosa campus, also deputy director of the Institute for Rural Health Research, and I am excited to be your moderator for today. We have a very exciting panel of speakers. As you know, the topic is PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and I attended the International AIDS Conference in July of 2012, and when we left the conference, the mantra was prevention as treatment. And we knew before we got there that there was some exciting work going on around this area, so we're excited to have our speakers today. They will really be explaining issues related to PrEP, acceptability, messaging, and use for HIV prevention among various populations. Speakers, is that good? Okay. We'll start with Dr. Sarah K. Calabrese. Sarah earned her PhD in clinical psychology at George Washington University. She is currently a postdoctoral fellow at Yale University Center for Interdisciplinary Research on AIDS. Her research focuses on promoting equitable access to HIV care and prevention resources for African Americans and other socially disadvantaged groups. Sarah?
Hi. So PrEP is an exciting and promising new strategy to prevent HIV for people at high risk of HIV acquisition. But it's only as exciting and promising as it is available and accessible to those who stand to benefit from it. And many of those are social minorities. I've heard some conversations about equitable access in the context of affordability and resource allocation, but I haven't heard many people talking about the potential for systematic discrimination within the healthcare system. So today's presentation is going to focus on some preliminary evidence for racial bias in clinical decision-making surrounding PrEP. My co-authors and I do not have any financial disclosures. So I'm sure many of us are familiar with the social disparities characteristic of the HIV epidemic. The U.S. Black community is disproportionately affected, where Black men make up less than 14% of the U.S. population. They make up 38% of men living with HIV. And Black MSM are particularly affected. So while they make up only a minority of the Black male community, they account for about 3/4 of new infections. So it's very important to establish effective and accessible HIV prevention strategies for Black MSM and other high-risk communities. So we know that oral pre-exposure prophylaxis is a promising new strategy or has shown some preventive potential in 4 of 6 clinical trials to date. And in July of 2012, the U.S. FDA approved PrEP for prescription approved Truvada as prescription for PrEP. Okay. So for many reasons, I think that there is a high probability that discrimination can occur in clinical decision-making and prescription decision-making around PrEP, and I'm going to outline a few different reasons. First, we know that racial disparities occur across the healthcare system, and with regard to antiretrovirals in particular. So we know that when it comes to HIV treatment, that Black people have longer delays till receipt of antiretrovirals, even when they're in care relative to white individuals. And so this could be foretelling of systematic discrimination with regard to antiretroviral prescription for preventive purposes. In addition, we know that discrimination is more likely to occur when norms are ambiguous or expectations are ambiguous, and that this applies to medical settings. So there's going to be a lot of provider discretion at this point in terms of prescribing PrEP. And so that judgment may allow for more opportunity for discrimination. Right now, there are not specific clinical guidelines. The CDC is in the process of establishing comprehensive guidelines, but the interim ones that they've put out are pretty vague and don't have a lot of specific examples. And of course, there aren't many precedents to rely on. Also, the survey research to date suggests that providers really have conflicting opinions about hypothetical cases as well as the appropriate eligibility criteria. So one concern that has come up repeatedly among providers is the possibility of sexual risk compensation. In other words, if they prescribe PrEP to a patient, that individual is going to go out and engage in more sexual risk-taking because they perceive themselves to be at lower risk. To date, there really is minimal evidence for risk compensation in general, but particularly there's no evidence for racial disparities in PrEP-related risk compensation. However, we know that there are sexual stereotypes of black men and black MSM in particular that suggest that they are high risk, sexually out of control, even though this is not supported in the literature whatsoever. These stereotypes do exist, though, and they have the potential to bias clinical judgment. So within the current study, my colleagues and I sought to examine medical students' predictions about sexual risk compensation for black versus white MSM patients seeking PrEP. And beyond that, we wanted to test the indirect effect of patient race on PrEP prescription willingness through sexual risk compensation. So specifically, we hypothesized that if the patient was black, he would be judged to be likely to engage in more sexual risk compensation, and this would be related to reduced willingness to prescribe PrEP to him. Okay, so the study was a survey-based study where individuals, the participants, were presented with clinical vignettes where they were given a little vignette about a hypothetical patient seeking PrEP, and race of the patient was systematically manipulated. Participants were invited to participate through email. It was all an online survey. And altogether, we recruited 102 medical students into the study. So there were four steps to the survey. First, the participants were given background information about Truvada, including the clinical evidence or evidence from trials, as well as the FDA approval. We then presented them with quotes presenting popular arguments supporting and opposing PrEP prescription. Then we gave them, we showed them this clinical vignette, which I will show you in just a moment. And finally, we asked them to make clinical judgments about the patient described in the vignette, as well as offer or answer some other questions. Okay, so this was the vignette. What I'm showing you, it's underlined and bolded for the sake of this presentation, but it was not for the participants. So Mr. J is a 31-year-old black man who is HIV negative. He presents to you, his primary care physician, requesting a prescription for Truvada, stating that he wants to take the medication to help prevent himself from getting HIV. He has insurance that would cover the prescription. Mr. J currently has one male sex partner who's been diagnosed as HIV positive and with whom he is monogamous. During previous appointments, you have discussed HIV risk with him and encouraged him to use condoms. However, he does not always use them, resulting in repeated episodes of unprotected sex with his partner. The vignette goes on to say, HIV antibody and RNA lab tests confirm that Mr. J is HIV negative. He's never had any STDs. He has no physical complaints. He's never had surgery or been hospitalized. His medical history is otherwise unremarkable. Mr. J does not use alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs. He has no known drug allergies. He does not currently take any medications. So that's the vignette that they were presented with. And then they responded to a number of different measures. I'm just simply going to list here the different constructs that we measured, one being predicted sexual risk compensation, PrEP prescription willingness, other clinical judgments having to do with predicted adherence, their perception of the patient's risk of HIV infection without PrEP, their beliefs about the risk reduction that PrEP can provide. We looked at two measures of racial bias, including perceived importance of the patient request, as well as general feelings towards black versus white patients. These were control variables. And then we also included sociodemographic characteristics and medical training background characteristics. We used SPSS for analyses. We did between group comparisons using univariate analysis of covariance. Prediction of prescription willingness was done using hierarchical linear regression analysis. And then we did testing for indirect effects using bootstrapping. Okay, so here are the sample characteristics. It was an even divide, male and female. The race was predominantly white or Asian. Sexual orientation was predominantly heterosexual. And all years of medical school were represented in the sample. So first we focused on the link between patient race and predicted patient sexual risk compensation. So on the left, you can see the different variables we looked at, comparing the black patient condition and the white patient condition. And the p-value on the right shows the significance. You can see that just one of those variables was significant. It was patient sexual risk compensation. And you can see from the means, this was on a 5-point Likert type scale, that the black patient group judged their patient to be more likely to engage in sexual risk compensation as compared to the white patient group. Okay, looking now at the relationship between sexual risk compensation and prescription willingness. Here we did a series of regressions. We added the variables and sets. So in the first model, you can see the variables that we included were sociodemographic characteristics, medical background characteristics, as well as controlling for the condition. You can see model summary statistics over on the right. Seeing that you can see that the model was significant. And here, looking at the significance of the different variables, you see that only gender was significant. So females were more likely or more willing to prescribe. Looking at model two, here we retained all previous variables and added in other clinical judgments, as well as racial biases, excluding sexual risk compensation. So those are the variables that we added. You can once again see the model summary statistics in the corner with a significant, the model was significant, and you can see the change statistics indicated significant change or better prediction by adding these variables. Again, gender was significant. The final model retained all previous variables, and then we added in predicted patient sexual risk compensation. So you can see that this variable was highly significant. If you look at the model summary statistics, again, the model was highly significant. This accounted for 32% of the variance in prescription willingness. And you can see the change statistics, again, showing high significance, with an additional 11% of the variance accounted for. Okay, again, gender was significant. We also found that racial bias in terms of general feelings was significant. And finally, predicted patient sexual risk compensation. Okay, so the final step is we wanted to look at the whole model. And here we used bootstrapping to test the indirect effect. So here you can see the confidence interval that it doesn't straddle zero. It indicates a significant indirect effect. Here you can see the unstandardized B values, and you can see that when the patient was, when individuals were in the black patient condition, the black patient was judged as being more likely to engage in sexual risk compensation. This, in turn, was related to reduced willingness to prescribe PrEP, as hypothesized. To summarize, the black patient was judged as more likely to engage in sexual risk compensation than the white patient. Predicted patient sexual risk compensation was strongly associated with PrEP prescription willingness. And patient race was indirectly related to prescription willingness, such that being black increased the perceived likelihood of engaging in sexual risk, and this reduced the willingness to prescribe PrEP. As far as future implications, there's implications for both interventions and research. First, I think there needs to be targeted interventions with healthcare providers to make them aware of the susceptibility for stereotyping and how it could affect clinical judgment. As far as future research, I think it's important to look at other healthcare provider samples. Again, this was medical students, but it would be helpful to look at providers, a national sample of providers who are currently practicing. We'd like to look at moderators, such as other provider and patient characteristics, including provider race, which we didn't have the number to look at for this. Psychological mechanisms underlying this relationship that we're seeing. And finally, looking at real-world prescription behavior as opposed to simply clinical vignette-based work. Okay. So Black MSM comprise one of many socially marginalized groups who stand to benefit from PrEP. Other social groups who are considered to be at heightened risk for HIV acquisition based on their sociodemographic characteristics, based on their sociodemographic characteristics or behavioral practices, might also confront healthcare bias that interferes with their access to PrEP. Therefore, I think it's important that we consider and address all barriers to access, not just structural. I think it's important to consider the risk of stereotyping within the healthcare system and how that can affect clinical decision making. I also want to drive home the point that right now is a very critical time as PrEP is being rolled out, the CDC and other organizations are developing guidelines, and so on. Now is the time we can integrate material that raises awareness about this potential risk of stereotyping and discrimination, and we can sort of proactively prevent it. In closing, I just want to acknowledge the training program that I'm a part of at the Center for Interdisciplinary Research on AIDS at Yale, Dr. Meyer, who helped us to refine the clinical vignette, and the New England restaurant owners who donated gift cards to support this work. Thank you.
Let's thank Dr. Calabrese again. And one or two questions, one in the back, and then we'll get you in the front.
I was just wondering, you mentioned that COVID is a popular argument.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think I have a supplementary slide. So here's an example of a supporting quote. We need new tools to fight this epidemic. PrEP is certainly not for everyone, but it may have a role in bringing HIV infection rates down. An opposing quote might be, the use of PrEP carries significant risk that the people who take it haphazardly will mistakenly believe that they are completely protected from HIV and other STDs. These individuals will engage in unprotected sex, which will ultimately lead to an increase in HIV and other infections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sarah, this is so exciting. I love your work.
Thanks.
I noticed that there wasn't a main effect of race for willingness. Mm-hmm. So it was just the indirect effect.
Right.
So my question to you is, what that says to me is not everybody thinks that the patient is more likely to engage in risk compensation, and it's the people who do that then are less likely to prescribe to Black patients. Have you looked at all at what the correlates of believing that Black patients are more likely to engage in compensation are?
We looked at the other variables that I showed you, but we haven't looked at, are you suggesting, like, psychological mechanisms that might be associated with it?
Or demographics of the provider?
Demographics of the provider, with the demographics we measured, we didn't see any differences, but again, it's a small sample. But some of the work that I proposed for the future is looking at associated psychological mechanisms, trying to tease apart whether this is in fact a stereotype or if it's more of a global prejudice or what exactly is going on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.